You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Our Summer Stuff series has been looking at various ways you can enjoy summer in the city, but for today's installment, we're looking into venturing outside the city to go camping. Kristen Hostetter, gear editor for Backpacker Magazine, joins us now to talk about the essentials of camping and backpacking, what to bring, what to eat, how to cook it, where to go. Hello, welcome to our show.
Hi, Leonard. Thanks for having me.
Where are some of the good places to go camping in the New York metropolitan area? Are there any within the city limits?
Well, I think there are some within the city limits, but if you want a real wilderness experience, you have to venture a little bit outside the city. And one of my favorite places to go anywhere, really, is Harriman State Park, which is only 30 miles from Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. And would you go as a backpacker or somebody who arrive by some kind of means of transportation, like an, I guess, by car?
Well, either way, I actually have done a 5-day backpacking trip in Harriman that was fantastic. There's great camping with great views of Manhattan. There's shelters, so you can set up a tent or sleep in a shelter. And there's some really fun things to do. The Appalachian Trail runs right through Harriman. And if you go, you can't miss the land formation called the Lemon Squeezer. The trail runs right through this cool rock formation that's very narrow. It's only a few feet wide, and it's great scrambling and just a really cool thing to see if you go to that neck of the woods.
Now, you say the reviews of Manhattan?
Yeah. There's one particular campsite up there that we spent two nights at because the views were so spectacular. And it's just perched up on a cliff, and at night when the city lights are on, it's just a really neat experience to be in a wild place like that and look out over the horizon and see Manhattan jumping up in the distance.
I know a lot of people who, whenever I mention that I think camping can be fun, they give me that look. What do you tell them to get them to give it a try?
Well, I tell them, for one thing, that it does not have to be uncomfortable. I mean, a lot of people, when they think of camping, they think of bugs and they think of sleeping on the hard ground and getting cold and getting wet. And I'm here to tell you that that is not the case. You know, for one thing, the bugs is something that's hard to deal with, but it's really about planning your trip and being prepared. And I never take first-timers out anywhere where it's bug season and I know there's going to be bad bugs, because some people just can't deal with that. But in terms of staying comfortable, I'm telling you, the gear today is so plush. You can have, you know, you can sleep on a mattress that's 2.5 inches thick. You're not going to feel the ground at all. You know, the clothes that we wear and that we pack keep us warm and dry. And with the right gear, it really does not have to be an uncomfortable experience, and I think that's what really surprises people most.
That 2.5-inch mattress is an air mattress?
It's an air mattress. There's straight air mattresses, and then for colder weather, there's mattresses with insulation in them, which are important, because when you're sleeping on the ground, you know, you don't realize oftentimes that your sleeping bag provides you warmth, but if you're not insulated from the ground, you can feel that cold seep up in the ground, and that only really happens in temperatures, you know, right around freezing. But it is something to keep in mind if you're going to be camping in the fall.
Well, can you backpack with an air mattress? Aren't they rather bulky?
No, not at all. You'd be amazed. They pack down to, some of them pack down to the size of a water bottle, of a 1-quart water bottle.
Sleeping bags come in a variety of insulation weights. What do you recommend for camping in the Northeast in the summer and early fall?
Well, for the summer, really, you know, especially in the heat of the summer, nights can really be kind of sticky. So sometimes you can get away with something, you know, as light as a quilt or even a sheet. There's a lot of companies that make sort of camping sheets for those really humid nights. But in general, you know, a sleeping bag rated to about 40 degrees is good and safe for the summer. If you're going to push that into the fall, a typical three-season bag is rated to about 20 degrees. And even if it does get warm, you can unzip it completely and use it as a quilt on top of you.
Those are these old plaid flannel-lined sleeping bags?
No. Those are very bulky and very heavy. Sleeping bags today generally come in down or synthetic insulation, and down bags pack much lighter, and they take up a lot less space in your backpack. Synthetic bags are a little bulkier, a little heavier, but they're also a lot cheaper. So I would definitely leave the flannel plaid sleeping bag at home and save it for your kids' sleepovers. But if you're going to go backpacking, you can invest in a good lightweight synthetic bag that really won't cost you more than $100, and you'll be happy that you did it.
It's every camper's worst nightmare to get out in a campsite and find out that you've forgotten something crucial like tent poles. What do you do in situations like that?
Well, tent poles is something that you don't want to forget because it's impossible to improvise. But, you know, other things, I do recommend always having a checklist, and we have loads of checklists available for download at backpacker.com so that you can just methodically go through it as you pack and make sure you don't forget anything. But really, some of the funnest moments I've had in the woods is when you do forget something or something does go wrong and you have to improvise. So, you know, that's kind of part of the challenge. But I do think that, you know, being prepared with a checklist, you're going to head off all those problems and not pack too much, not pack too little, and just be ready to have a good time.
Well, even if you have everything, putting a tent together in dim or no light can be quite difficult for anyone who doesn't do it all the time.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, when you never go out into the woods without a few trial runs. And tents are fun to set up in the backyard. Definitely get it out in your backyard, set it up, make sure you have all the right stakes and all the right components, make sure you know how to do it. Try it at night. You know, wait till the sun goes down and practice setting up your tent at night with a headlamp. And just make sure you know where the poles go and where everything goes and how many stakes you need, and that will really prevent any problems. As long as it's just like anything else, practice makes perfect.
What do you look for when you're picking a spot to set up your tent?
Well, the first thing you want to do is always go for an established campsite if available. And that's because you don't want to impact the landscape any more than needed. So it's pretty straightforward. When you find an established campsite, you'll know, because it'll be matted down and it'll look like a campsite, and oftentimes they're designated campsites. So,
and they often have toilets available, showers, running water,
for the
things
most
like
part
that.
Backpacking campsites do not, but certainly car campgrounds do. Yes. So it's pretty straightforward in terms of car campgrounds, but when you're in the backcountry, it's a little, you know, it can be a little trickier to find a good campsite. You definitely, of course, want one level so that you get a good night's sleep. You also want one that's not going to have any drainage problems if you do get rain. You know, you want to kind of look around you and make sure you're not in a low spot where water might settle. You also want to look around and make sure you're not kind of in a wind tunnel if the wind kicks up. And, you know, other than that, it's really just about picking a spot that looks good, that's going to have a nice view in the morning, and that's not going to have any adverse effect on the landscape.
That wind tunnel can really affect the tent if you're in a tent. I'm talking to Kristen Hostetter, gear editor for Backpacker magazine. We're talking about some of the things that you can do this summer. And in case you haven't gone camping, well, that's something you might consider. We have a number of listeners who've sent in suggestions. Harold on Facebook recommends hiking in the waterfalls throughout the Catskills. And Eric says he just got back from the St. Regis Canoe Wilderness area, which is west of Saranac Lake in the Adirondacks. It's beautiful, unspoiled water world, wilderness, canoe country, no motorized vehicles allowed on land or water, and a reasonable drive from New York City, about 4 hours or so. Campsites are primitive, and the closest one is about a quarter mile plus 20 minutes of easy paddling. We do have listeners out there who do like to do this sort of thing. And Jim asks, how does one manage backpacking with hard contact lenses, which need solution and water?
Well, that's a good question. I don't wear contact lenses, but I certainly have hiked with lots of people that do. And, you know, you just have to be prepared, and you have to be prepared for your own sort of personal needs, and just pack your little tube of lubricant for your lenses, and make sure you have an extra pair as well in case you happen to drop one in the ground and aren't able to find it.
Knowing what kind of food to bring and what to cook can also be confusing. What do you recommend for your average weekend car camping trip?
Oh, my God, when car camping, anything goes. I mean, really, I have some great little portable grills that I use so that we can cook up burgers and hot dogs and sausages and chicken and whatever. you know, when you're car camping, there really are no barriers. It's when you decide to go backpacking that you really have to start to pay attention to weight and how small things pack up, and easy preparation, of course, because you're more limited in the cooking gear that you carry. So you have to be prepared for that and have meals that are easy to prepare.
And what would you want to carry? Hot dogs, because they're so light?
No, when I'm backpacking, I wouldn't carry hot dogs, mainly because they're perishable. Also because you don't want to carry anything that could get crunched or smushed in your backpack. So, you know, there are some really great freeze-dried and dehydrated meals that you can buy at camping stores, and we do lots of food testing for the magazine and on our website. People can check out those reviews at backpacker.com. But if you're a little bit more ambitious, you can create your own meals using a dehydrator, dehydrated ingredients. One of my favorite things actually to dehydrate, believe it or not, is hamburger, because it's first of all, it's easy to dehydrate, and second of all, a lot of these meals that you get are vegetarian, so it's always kind of nice to be able to add some protein to that. And once you have the hamburger, you can add, you know, noodles and rice and all kinds of veggies, and it rehydrates with hot water, and you have a good hot meal
in
a matter of minutes.
In places without running water, how do you wash the dishes? Should you get water from a lake or a stream?
You certainly can. You should never wash dishes directly in a lake or a stream, but you just pull a pot of water from what's available there, put it on your stove, heat that water up, and wash dishes like you would normally at home. The key is just not to reintroduce any food or soap back into the water where, you know, it could hurt the environment of the animals that live there.
And I'm assuming that if you're backpacking, you have to be very careful about the clothing that you bring along. Are there some ways of lightening your load?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the most common mistakes people make when backpacking, particularly in the first time, is packing too much stuff. And when you pack too much stuff, it's heavy. And when it's heavy, you're uncomfortable and you don't have as much fun. So I think, you know, and two of the most common places are food and clothing. So you really want to plan your food well, and you want to make sure that you know portion size and control portion size and don't overpack. And in terms of clothes, you know, people get scared. They think, oh, my God, I'm going to get freezing at night, or, oh, my shirt's going to get wet and I'm not going to have, you know, something dry to put on. And that's normal. And, you know, with experience, you kind of realize what you need and what you don't need. And you know what? Backpackers don't need a clean T-shirt every day. We don't need clean socks every day.
The person you're with probably won't notice that you're wearing the same shirt you wore yesterday.
They're going to be just as smelly as you are.
Now, you mentioned insects. Should you worry about animals, squirrels, raccoons, snakes, bears?
Well, yes and no. I don't think you should worry about them, but I think you should be prepared to deal with them. Critters, especially in popular campgrounds and campsites, they're smart. They know where the good stuff is, and they'll be rummaging around. So, you know, you have to take care to keep a clean camp. You know, avoid spills, avoid dropping crumbs, avoid leaving trash. And you have to store your food properly at night. And, you know, there's all kinds of techniques and products that will help you do that. When you're in bear country, you know, it becomes a little bit more of an issue. You definitely don't want bears coming into your camp looking for your food. There are bear canisters that you can buy, hard-sided canisters that are great and foolproof. There's also a technique called bear bagging, in which you hang your sack of food over a tree limb to keep it away off the ground, away from critters and out of bears' reach. And bear bagging can be a frustrating experience if you haven't done it, until wading a rope and throwing it over a limb and hauling your food up there. But it takes a little practice. It's not rocket science, and we do have lots of good slideshows and information on our website that will teach people how to do that.
People like Capra in New York City have been asking, where is a nice place that you can bring your 5- and 7-year-old that's not more than 30 to 45 minutes drive from Manhattan. One suggestion we would have that is on Friday and Saturday nights in July and August, families can camp with the urban park rangers in city parks. And you can find out all about that on our show page at WNYC.org. Do you have any other suggestions?
Oh, I think that's such a great idea and such a great program. In fact, I was lucky enough to be in the first group of campers in Central Park a few years ago with the New York Parks group, and we had so much fun. We set up tents right there in Central Park and had a fantastic night. We did little night hikes around the park, and there were tons of kids there, and it is a really great way to introduce kids to camping, and grown-ups too, in a way that's, you know, not intimidating at all and feels very safe. And I love programs like that. I think they're such a great idea.
Kristen Hostetter is gear editor for Backpacker Magazine. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome.